Okay, hello. Good afternoon, everybody. This is the regular monthly meeting of the City of Morro Bay Citizens Oversight Committee, acting as the Citizens Finance Advisory Committee. Today is Tuesday, January 21st, 2020, 3 p.m. We're at Vets Hall. We have a quorum, all present, so I would like to call this meeting to order. And let's stand for the pledge to the flag, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Do we have any committee member announcements? Left, right?
I'm not going to be here for the next
meeting. Mike, please.
I'll not be here for the next meeting. I'm going to be on travel on the February meeting.
Okay. We'll count that as an excused absence if the committee agrees. Yes. Thank you, Tracy. Bart, did you have an announcement?
Not really, other than to say...
Other than to say the Bird Festival this last weekend was a tremendous success. I don't know the final count, but I think they've had like 450 to 500 in the past, and they had, I've heard different numbers, but could be between 600 and 650 who showed up. So hopefully the city got to take advantage. Certainly the Inn at Morro Bay on Thursday night did. It was packed over there for registration. So I'd say it was very successful. Unfortunately, the rain was Thursday night. The festival is Friday through Monday, so it went well. Congratulations to the committee.
Thank you, Bart. And yes, that's good news for everybody, so thank you, all of you who participated. And I have a single announcement as well. We have a new member who will be joining us effective February 1st for our committee, replacing Mr. Batant, who resigned recently. And that is Tina Wiener. And I would like to welcome her. She's also in the audience attending for this meeting. So welcome. We'll look forward to you joining us next week. Thank you. And on the Bird Festival, I know, Marlis, you're always involved in that, so I'm sorry, I didn't mean to thank you for that. That's been going on for many years and really helps the city, so I've attended myself several times. Excellent. Thank you. All right, I'll open it up for public comment.
Well, since you mentioned my name and you mentioned that I have been involved for actually 16 years with the Bird Festival, I will tell you that it was over 700 people that attended this year, the most we've ever had, and I never thought we could accommodate that many people, but they did it. So congratulations to the team that did it, and I know that the city benefited. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McPherson, and for that report. And absolutely correct. The city does benefit from it, and especially if you consider, what, 2-3 weeks after the holiday season, that's an excellent opportunity so for tourism. But thank you and your team. All right, that brings us to item A1, which is the consent calendar. That is the approval of the minutes from our last meeting held December 17th, 2019. Has everybody had an opportunity to review those, and are there any suggested updates, corrections? Then I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes as submitted.
I move that we approve the minutes.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Thank you, Lois, for the second. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries 6-0. Thank you. All righty. That leads us to our business items. Agenda item B1 is the presentation on the results of the City of Morro Bay Issues survey that was recently completed by an outside professional firm. And Scott Collins, our city manager, will be presenting that to us. The presentation, I believe, is in your agenda packet. Go ahead, Scott. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, committee. Scott Collins, city manager, and I'll try to be brief in my comments here because I'm sure you have lots of questions. But before I get into the survey, just want to give a little bit of background. Members of this committee are very well aware of the kind of long-term financial concerns that the city has. City Council has made fiscal sustainability its number one priority the last 2 years and in the years that preceded those. And that's based upon looking at our 10-year forecast and looking out at the future years, where it becomes harder and harder to make our numbers match between our revenues and expenditures. A lot of those costs are outside of the city's control. Based on that and the potential for, you know, million-plus deficits in the next 5 to 10 years on an annual basis, the city's taken action both on the expenditure side and revenue side to at least put us in the best position possible. On the expenditure side, I won't get into too many details, but we've made cuts along the lines of reducing our overhead and our count. The deputy city manager position has been eliminated. The senior engineer position in public works has been defunded. We have a planning position that's been defunded. We have positions in the harbor department, wastewater and water, that have been reduced. We've also outsourced entire functions like the dispatch service, which is really a cost avoidance. It, essentially the same cost to provide that service, but without the pension and other costs that are long-term liabilities for the city. In addition to that, we've engaged in pension reform through cost sharing with our POA, our Police Officers Association. We prepaid and to avoid interest costs on our pensions and done other things to help alleviate that burden. I'm sure I'm missing some things. And then on the revenue side, the city has looked at expanding its tourism base using its TBID, or Tourism Business Improvement District, have sought to engage in ways we haven't before to be more competitive with not only our local region but those outside of us, you know, marketing non-traditional markets to get new visitors into our community, and we've seen increase in tourism as a result. We've also engaged strategically with the Chamber of Commerce to provide economic development services on our behalf to not only help those who are already here succeed as local businesses, but also to market our opportunity sites to bring new business into town. So we've also looked at revenue measures like done the fee study, implemented a lot of those changes and the like. And one of the conversations and action items that was addressed or has been brought up by council is to look at other revenue measures, considering including potential ballot measures. And that's what leads us to the survey. Before going to a ballot, you need to understand where your community, what their priorities are, what they believe the needs are, and what their level of support may be if, in fact, you do pursue a revenue measure, which brings us to this presentation. So you do have...
Can I make sure I understand what are you looking for from us? Because normally we have these and it says at the end, recommend to receive it or recommend to support it or something like that. I mean, is this information?
Yes.
Or
it's information and question and answer. And when we get to the next steps, I can kind of go into a little bit more detail about what comes next and the role of this committee, if we can get to that point, or I can answer that now.
No, that's fine. It wasn't clear as to how we're supposed to be looking at this, reviewing it, commenting, other than thanks. So,
Okay. Thanks for that feedback. Moving on. So we did engage with FM3, which is a polling firm that has worked with the city in the past when we ultimately went forward with Measure Q, which this committee is the oversight committee for. We engaged with them to conduct a survey. The survey methodology follows the traditional survey method, except that a lot of people aren't answering their phones anymore, just simply don't have a landline and don't answer random calls on their cell phones. So this firm, as well as all other firms that engage in surveys, are now using both online and phone calls to achieve the same goal, which is to get as a representative results as possible. By virtue of having an online component of this, it does increase the, I guess you would call it the margin of error, up to 5.4%, but that still gives you almost a 95% confidence in the results being representative of your community. The surveys were conducted in English and Spanish and took approximately 20 minutes, and overall 326 potential voters did respond to the survey. We asked questions at the beginning about their overall opinions of the county and the city, and also benchmarked that against the same questions that were asked in 2005. The overall direction of city and county are about the same as they were in 2005, about 40% believing we're on the right track, 48% on the wrong track, and those who don't know are 12%. We also asked their overall impressions of the public safety departments and other departments within the city. Shouldn't be a big surprise, but the City of Morro Bay Fire Department did receive 90% support in terms of those who believe the service is excellent or good. And then moving on down to the Morro Bay Police Department, they clocked in at 77% excellent and good service. The Morro Bay Recreation and Parks Department, but it's really recreation now, was at 67%, and the Public Works at 54%. Overall, the city is still trending in the same level as it was around 2005 at 40%, and the San Luis Obispo County government at 39%. We asked in that same survey, FM3 did, what are the big issues or concerns, and kind of took a weather sampling of the issues that we sort of know to be concerns. And not a big surprise, the one that came out on top was the cost of housing being a serious problem or a very serious problem at 60%. Waste and inefficiency in Morro Bay city government was at 43%, being an extremely or a very serious problem. Homelessness was 43%, and now I'm down, you can see in the presentation. And here's the rest of those that were checked. And then we looked at the same problems against 2005 ratings, and more or less they're about the same in terms of being perceived as real issues or big issues. We asked the question directly to the respondents about support for contracting out police and fire services, since that's sort of been a question before in the past, and we wanted to have kind of direct results on that. And 81% said they'd prefer to maintain local fire and police versus contracting to outside agencies. And then asked the question if they believe the city has great need, some need, little need, no real need, or don't know in terms of additional funding. And those that believe there's great need, some need, or little need clocked in at 70%. And then we moved on to opinions about a potential local funding measure. We asked this question, I won't read it verbatim, but it's would be a general tax, particularly around preserving the services that the community told us they have high ratings for, including police and fire, and general services beyond that, like our streets and roads and keeping our beaches, parks, and publics safe areas safe and clean. That would be 1 cent sales tax, and it would provide about $2 million annually. So slightly more than 6 in 10 voters initially support this potential simple majority requirement, which is a 50% plus one measure. Of those who were asked, definitely yes or probably yes, 62% said, and undecided lean yes, 62% of the respondents clocked in at that, whereas 33% were in the undecided, lean, no, or probably no, or definitely no, with 5% undecided. So ultimately, what that tells you is that this is a representative slice of our community, and 62% would support a simple tax measure. In terms of how that would be spent, folks felt it was very important that we maintain services. In this survey, there's a group A and a group B. Those were asked certain questions that only they were asked versus those were asked a different set of questions but comparable. Of those who were asked whether they support maintaining the current level of service, 74% felt it was extremely or very important, versus those who were asked improving upon current levels of service. Extremely very important, came out at 49%. So that kind of just shows that the temperature is really around maintaining what we already have versus expanding upon what we have. And voters rated public disclosure of spending and maintaining emergency service response as the top priorities of a potential funding measure. Ultimately, they want to make sure that there is accountability and that it's publicly disclosed, and this committee could be the venue or other venues for providing that. And 88% that thought that was extremely or very important. Maintaining 24/7 9/11 emergency response was 87%, extremely important or very important. Maintaining paramedic services 24 hours, 7 days a week was 87. And keeping beaches, public spaces, public restrooms safe and clean was 85%. And you can see on down the line, a lot of it is around public safety, maintaining levels of service, and ensuring that we have financial sustainability. And this gives you the remainder of the list, again, demonstrating support for keeping our beaches and harbor waterfront clean and safe, attracting and retaining local businesses, and questions around infrastructure, their support for that. The city did also check in on a potential harbor parcel tax to see what the general level of support would be for that. And going through that, we found that about 47 would definitely vote yes, probably vote yes, or were undecided but would lean yes. And certainly that doesn't indicate a level of support. And anything on this level would have to be a two-thirds vote for passage, so certainly isn't support for moving forward at this time. So that really, what this is just the first part of a larger outreach and engagement process. We realize that surveying is very important. You don't get to do this very often, and it's not cheap. I think this one costs about $24,000, but it is an important step in the process. The next steps are really to work with this committee to do a lot of outreach to community groups and individuals to check and see if this really reflects their priorities and what they believe are the needs of the city, and ultimately through the budget process come back and have a conversation with this committee and then with City Council about whether or not now is the appropriate time to move forward. So I just wanted to bring this forward, at least again initiate the conversation. Bart asked a really good question. I'm not looking for support for anything right at this time, but really just to see if you have any questions or concerns. And again, this is really the stepping off point for a pretty massive outreach effort to make sure we talk to as many potential voters as possible about this. And ultimately, if a decision is made to move forward, it's not the city making a decision, it's the folks out in the community. Thank you.
If you're
Thank
out,
you, Scott.
I'm sorry.
All right, so I'll open it up to comments and questions, please. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, if your outreach is positive, is the final step going forward doing another Prop 18 to make the November election? Is that the target?
It doesn't follow a 218 process. It would be put on the ballot, and those decisions will be made later this year by City Council, probably no later than July, in order to meet the county clerk's deadlines. Yeah.
Any comments, questions? Bart, go ahead.
My observation was it was nice to see that, yes, everybody, as we found one time we had a discussion about possibly even addressing that issue, it filled the place. But the people were willing to pay for it, which is nice. It's consistent with, yes, they want police and fire, and yes, they're willing to pay more, which is a good thing. I don't know is there going to be like a public session to review this? Would we be involved? Would we be chairing that as one option, like a special meeting? I'm not sure. I assume at some point you're going to open it up to more than the 300 or so people to let people come in and give it on this, or are you? I don't know.
No, it's an excellent question. We are going to be doing a lot of outreach to the groups, service groups, the schools, you know, to this committee, to council. Ultimately, you know, what that process looks like exactly hasn't been fully developed, but we anticipate that it really kind of kick off in earnest from a formal perspective during the budget process, because that's when we'll have a better idea of kind of where we're at this year and looking out forward. And you know, council can direct that back to this committee before making a final decision. That could be how that process goes, but we feel it's important that this committee does weigh in on it.
Thank you, Scott. John?
Scott, so the ballot language that was in this presentation is just a test language. That's not what's actually going to appear.
No, it could be, but it's not final. That was just kind of to throw it out there and see what sticks. But ultimately, would be the city council determining with the assistance of the city attorney what that language is.
Okay. Yeah. Because the Measure Q language included the phrase "and other general city services." So it was very plain that it could be spent on anything. And this language, I don't think, really spells that out.
Well, that depends on if you put it as a general proposition,
right,
or a specific.
Well,
it has to be
general.
Percentage.
That's correct.
If it's not general, then it requires two-thirds.
Right.
That's right.
Right. And again, this was just testing the waters. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, what gets approved would be the council in close consultation with the city attorney, who's going to assess, you know, what could qualify as general, what would be the tipping point to a specific or special tax.
And the only other comment I would make is that if the city does pursue this, I think you have to have a legitimate action plan for if it fails, you know, and really explain to the people very truthfully, this is what the result of failure means. And then if it does fail, you have to go down that road. So it has to be completely above board.
That's an excellent point. Thank you, John.
Lois?
I just want to clarify that the intent would be in perpetuity, basically, and would require a similar measure to end the tax. Do I understand that correctly?
Basically, it would be until the voters determine otherwise.
They would be done through the same process, though.
You could repeal it through a ballot initiative.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. Good point, Homer. I guess I have a couple comments. It's interesting when I look. First of all, thank you for doing this, and I think using a professional firm to do this is money well spent. And I know we don't like to spend money on things like that with outside firms sometimes. But I recall back in the 2006 era, the city also used a professional firm, and they predicted with some very close accuracy what percentage it would pass by. In other words, you know, using the appropriate statistical methods. The reason that's important is the point John and Lois were bringing up. Do you have to structure this as a general purpose tax to get it to pass? You can't just put it on the ballot, and if we luck out and get two-thirds, then we can use it specifically. You know, you have to decide before you put it on the ballot. So I think that's one comment I would make on that. Homer, did you have something to address on that?
Yeah, I just wanted to add something about the paying for this. I know there's been some comments in public about, you know, the city's wasting money, blah, blah, blah. Keep in mind that if you spend $100,000, over the next 5 years, you're going to collect $10 million. So, you know, let's not be penny wise and pound foolish in this. I mean, it's 1% of the, you know. So I just would be stressing the fact that, yes, these firms are expensive, but good quality people do charge a lot. But keep the focus on the fact that you'll get $10 million in 5 years.
Thank you, Homer. Good point. And the second thing I was just going to throw out there, but it's interesting because in our years on working on Measure Q, we always heard from a lot of citizens, streets. That was the number one priority, I would say, for the most part. Not always, but certainly in a few years. And when I look at it here, it's way down on the list. And I surmise that's because we have used appropriate Measure Q funds for streets. We also have a little bit of state matching matching funds, and they're getting done. But the point I'm trying to make is that didn't happen overnight, and it takes a while for that. And now you don't see the streets on there because people do see some work getting done. Homer, if you disagree, you're welcome to. Oh, okay, okay. Well, in my time span here, it was a pretty high. We heard it a lot. And it kind of reminds you, when things are getting done, you don't hear anything. But when they're not getting done, that's the high priority. That and the fire station, the fire department, of course. But anyways, that's all. I'll open it up to public comment if there's any.
I've got one
more. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bart.
Observation. I realize this is a presentation that they put together for you. So if you want to contact them, you had those contact information. This is now a public document. I'm not sure you necessarily are inviting the community to write to these people for more information, which is what the slide happens to say. I realize they didn't do it for the community. They did it for you, but it's now here. So I don't know. If you publish this again, either you're saying, yes, go ahead and contact them, in which case we would pay probably for them to answer those questions. And I was presume that's not the intent, is to let random people go and contact them.
I mean, I think the intention was, because we put this out as part of a press release, is that if there were questions about methodology and the like, that FM3, they own this, so this is theirs, and they're, you know, their reputation's on the line, so if there's questions about how this was put together, how it was conducted, that they would answer those questions. That's my understanding.
Yeah. And the understanding is that they wouldn't charge us for
correct.
Answering those.
Yeah.
Okay.
When you present this to the city council, will they be in attendance?
They already have.
We did not contract with them for that purpose, but if you think that would be important to know, then...
Back to the penny-wise and pound-foolish thing. City council members may have questions about some of the answers.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I thought this was already presented.
It's been presented to them individually and then put on the line, on the website.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? I'd like to open up to public comment. Any public comment on this item, B1? Seeing none, I'll close public comment. Thank you. Okay, that brings us to item B2, which is the report to a city. Or is it? Yeah, item B2. I'm sorry, item B2, review of the fiscal year 2018-2019 year-end Measure Q council presentation. And we discussed at our, here, would you take one and pass them down, please? Pass a couple down, and then.
It's just one page?
Yeah, one page.
Okay.
Front and back. Thank you, Jen. So this is a draft presentation. As many of you will recall, each year we present the Measure Q expenditures for the previous fiscal year to City Council. And we discussed at our December meeting I would put something together consistent with prior year formats and at a somewhat high level to summarize that, yes, we have reviewed all the fiscal expenditures incurred under the Measure Q initiative. Here's what they were spent on. Here's some things we've done. Typically, this takes anywhere from 5 to 7 minutes to present to City Council and answer any questions. And so that's what I've attempted to do here. It would be in your standard PowerPoint format. I just printed it up forward to a page, save some page. So, and you'll see I've numbered the page numbers. So let me go through it real quickly and stop me or tell me if we're off task or anything you want me to change. The agenda is page 1, and these reads top to bottom, left to right. That's self-explanatory. Slide 2 indicates we, as a committee, met in December, our member names, and then a summary of the total tax revenue for the year, expenditures, And then the carryover, I've attempted to explain that in the last bullet. In other words, the carryover, if we have, it's not an exact science predicting your revenues from a sales tax initiative, so if we have excess funds, we carry those over to the next year. Or conversely, if we don't have enough funds, we would draw down from a previous year's carryover. So that's what slide two says. Slide three is the fire department expenditures. And again, I just try to summarize it at a high level, those four bullets. Slide four is the street maintenance, public works, and police department, and what they spent at a high level, the Measure Q money on, and storm drains. So before I flip it over, anything on those first four pages is this that anybody needs me to explain?
I do.
Yeah, go ahead.
The replacement fire engine?
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to say that's debt service or something to that effect so people don't think a fire engine doesn't cost $60,000.
Oh, good point, Homer. I will revise that. And that's 5 years debt service, as I recall, right?
Yeah, I don't recall the financing, but
I'll just say debt service and make it clear. Okay. Thank you. Very good.
Since I get paid so much, I'd suggest that you make the unassigned balance 226083. I realize that when you look at the numbers individually, the rounding gets you this.
Yeah, right. Well,
but
here's
it avoids,
what
when
I'll
somebody sees
it,
that way somebody doesn't say it's a dollar off.
That's a good point. You know what? I took it right off.
I realize that they round it off, and that's what happens.
No. I took it right off our report in the December, and that was a round off. But, yeah, so I carried that. But, yeah, I can make that a... let me ask you guys this question, because in the past, sometimes I don't like putting all these exact. I like to put like K, thousands, and when I read it, that's what I'm
even better.
I think 1 year people wanted it right down to the. I think that just distracted.
I would go for the rounding off to thousands, but.
Okay, so like the total revenue would be approximately 1.226 million or. 1,226K. All right, thank you. Good point. Slide five on the back of your draft there. So here's our recommendations. We approved the unaudited transactions during the fiscal year. We recommended that the carryover for the unassigned fund balance, remember we had the discussion, should it be spent on something specific, and we decided no, the majority decided that should be discussion held until the mid-year budget review occurs for this year, and then that would determine, the council in conjunction with city staff would determine how that money is spent. And then continue progress, that's just kind of a general statement. This is slide five on the funding categories identified in the 2006 ballot initiative, trying to pull things back to the ballot initiative, which dictates or should dictate how money is spent. Moving on to slide six, I've put a few summary of the CFAC accomplishments there. Detailed review recommendations, which we're going to see later today, of the city's CAFR each year. And review of all the quarterly budget reports. We've provided feedback to city finance staff, I believe. We've also reviewed and made recommendations for the WRF Capital Projects quarterly reports that we're now looking at. And some miscellaneous oversight recommendations, some of our suggestions for updated language in the advisory body's handbook, and the update to the budget brief brochure in conjunction with Ms. Calloway and city finance staff. So that, I think, covers at a high level related to Measure Q what this committee has done. And then upcoming activities, slide seven. Welcome a new member, continue the oversight, review the auditor's report, mid-year budget. Questions and thank you. So, anybody, where are we? Is this good to go? Are we way off track? Comments?
No, I think it's excellent. Thank you for doing the work.
Thank you.
Because this is going to be for the public, I would drop the acronyms in slide six.
Oh, the CAFR?
Yeah, and I'm not sure that acting as CFAC, I don't know how many people, if you walk down the street, ask them, if, you know, what's CFAC? I don't know how many people would really know that. You know,
okay.
Maybe spell it out. And nobody knows what CAFR is. Sounds like a robe or something.
No, we know.
I know,
but, you know.
Lois and John know very much. You know, that's very important, because what I can do is I can take it off here, but that doesn't mean I don't say it. I can easily just say,
right.
Oh, by the way, we do ACT in case you hear the acronym. I can.
Yeah, and on slide 7, any questions for the CFAC members? I'm not sure you want to just cross off 4 CFAC members.
Oh, okay. Well, in the past, yeah,
unless
okay.
Unless Bart right. wants to get a question.
Actually, I could, or you're right, as a spokesman, usually some of you come and attend and that's nice, or you're watching on TV, but yeah, I can handle that. And if I can't and you're sitting there, I will defer to you. Does everybody agree with Homer's suggestions? I'm okay with that.
You know, it's a good catch. I think on your very first slide,
mm-hmm.
and not to wordsmith it here, but to explain Citizens Oversight Committee, ACT and Citizens Finance Committee, CFAC, you then could probably use CFAC throughout,
mm-hmm.
and probably reduce some of the words on other slides, but just go do it on the very first one, and
okay.
then you don't have to keep saying both all the way through.
You're right. The first, if I'm going to use that acronym, the first time I use it, I should have it.
I think you
means,
can probably
yeah.
eliminate the double thing, you know, yeah. however you can do it.
Okay. Thank you.
And should you, right in the beginning, point out that we were created because of Measure Q just to ensure the funds were being spent in the 4 categories? Just start that way. That might be a nice intro for people. Obviously, City Council knows it, but if we really are talking to the public, that would be a
You know, actually, considering the city manager's presentation of 5 minutes ago, you may want to get together with him and script that first part. Because if you recall, one of the most important things to the respondents of the survey was the confidence in the city's numbers. And the fact that the Measure Q money has been spent the way the voters were told in 2006, primarily because of this committee and staying on top of the elected officials not to deviate off of the path. So it might be you might be able to work with him and say something that would reinforce that.
Okay. And even if we don't, if I don't change it too much on the chart, I explain the first bulletin and why are we doing this, because of the 2006 ballot initiative, and that had language in it saying that the expenditures should be, you know, in accordance with that. So that's our mission. That's how our whole committee. I can do that. And Scott, if you guys want to add anything, I'm more than receptive to that. Okay. Anything else?
Just one comment. On page 5, we're still calling this unaudited, and I realize that at the time that Jennifer mm-hmm. presented the numbers, they were unaudited, but the audit has been completed and the numbers didn't change, so can we get rid of that word, unaudited?
Unaudited?
It makes it look like they're draft numbers and not final, but they are indeed final.
You okay with that, Jen?
Yes, that's fine.
I'm okay with that. And then if anybody asks a question, you know. Yeah, we don't want anybody to think this is an ongoing review. Thank you, John. Good point. Thank you all. Okay. So that is agendized, I believe, for the February 11th. Am I correct?
That's correct, February 11th.
Okay, good. We'll be there. And I'm sorry you two will have to hear it again, but... I'll see what I can do to make it more interesting. Thank you. All right. That will lead us to agenda. Was there any public comment on item B2? Okay, seeing open and closed. Thank you. Item B3 is the review of the fiscal year 2018-19 Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, otherwise referred to as the CAFR. And I'm going to turn this over to our subcommittee, for which we're all very grateful for the work they did, and that would be John Martin and Lois Johnson. And you want to go over this, please?
Well, thank you, Barbara. Jennifer did write a staff report for this, so I think we should start with that, and I'll turn it over to Jennifer.
Okay, thank you. You do have copies of the final comprehensive annual financial report in front of you, as well as the report on internal controls and the communications letter. You also were provided with links to the three other audit reports, the Bike Pathways report, roads audit, and transit reports. Those are on our website and are available to review. The audit report, as we discussed during the draft review, we ended the year with $700 and almost $28,000 in revenues over expenditures due to a variety of reasons, some vacancies within different departments that took some time to fill, always results in some personnel savings, some higher revenues than had been expected. Last year was the year that the state had issues with their sales tax reporting, so we did receive some more sales tax than we were expecting, presumably maybe from those issues and trying to estimate that with the reporting being off. In addition, there was one outstanding finding from 2 years ago on accounting policies procedures. It included the implementation of our purchase order system, as well as keeping our expenditures within approved budgets. That finding has been closed out and considered implemented. There were no new findings, so we have no findings for fiscal year 18-19. And then also addressed in the report that the auditor will be coming on February 11th to give this presentation. At that time, we will be recommending to the City Council to use $658,000 to pay off our unfunded liabilities for our Tier 2 and PEPRA retirement classifications. That really serves three primary purposes. As you know, we pay 7% interest to PERS on our unfunded liabilities, so it will help us with some interest savings. I'm working with PERS right now to get some refined numbers on that. Right now, I estimate that interest savings to be about $160,000. Each plan is spread over various numbers of years, so that's anywhere from 2 to 11 years, depending on which plan it is. And then also, it helps to prevent from those two tiers from growing large unfunded liabilities that seem overwhelming and unmanageable, like in our classic tier right now, which is $24 million. So we're trying to keep the two, Tier 2 and PEPRAs, at 0% of a zero unfunded liability, so we don't have to try to manage those in the future. And then also that will help reduce our forecasted deficit for the upcoming budget season, which is between $500,000 and $600,000. Citywide, that'll save about $100,000 from that budget by prepaying that. So those are the three reasons we'll be recommending that. And then we appreciate the subcommittee's review. They provided a very comprehensive memorandum on the review and the recommendations they've made. We'll certainly be incorporating those next year and helping to continue to grow the document and improve on it each year. We did meet the deadline this year for the submission to GFOA, so we should hear about that again, probably not until August timeframe. But.
Oh, thank you, Jen. John.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, the subcommittee, which consisted of Lois and I, did meet twice and reviewed this in quite rigorous detail. And I just want to say, first of all, that this is an excellent document. It's better than last year's. And last year's, you received the Certificate of Excellence, and they rated you proficient in every single category. So, I mean, that's as good as it gets. That's like an A+, and this is even better than last year's. So great job by you and your staff. So you have a written report from the subcommittee, and we did find a few technical issues with the CAFR, which we talked directly to management about, and so they have that information. Then we found four what we consider to be substantive things, basically just four ideas to improve the document. I'm not going to go into those in any great detail unless members of the committee want to discuss that. But I want to mention that nowhere did we touch on any financial performance issues, okay? And that is something that we didn't really feel was our position. You know, our intent was to make the document better, you know, make it more transparent, more accurate, more relevant, and that was really what we were focusing on. So if other members of the committee do want to address financial performance issues, I guess this would be the proper arena for that. I do want to touch on the one process issue that we included in the report, and that is we had some difficulty with the CAFR this year, and I think it really stems from the fact that there is this December 31st deadline for the GFOA. And in order to meet that deadline and get the report to this committee prior to that, Jennifer was pushing the auditors to get a draft. Mm-hmm. And so there was a December 4th draft, there was a December 5th draft, there was a December 12th draft, and there were changes all along. And that just made the job a lot more difficult. So I think what I'd like to recommend to the committee and to management is when this committee reviews the CAFR, that we don't do it until management has what they consider to be a complete and correct draft, unless there's a subcommittee and you want to bring us in to do proofreading or something like that, then, you know, maybe. But as far as the actual review of the CAFR, I think it needs to be in a more complete form and not missing elements and things like that, you know, before we really take a look at it. So with that being said, I think that December 31st deadline is really what you need to be focused on and do whatever work you need to get done to have that met so that you get that report submitted to GFOA, because in honesty, their review is more important than our review, because they're extremely knowledgeable about these things and they're up to date on everything. And so getting that thing submitted and getting their feedback is really the most important thing. And then we can review it in January and then report to the committee if there is a subcommittee. So what that means is that the document does get submitted to GFOA before either this committee or the council sees it. But I think given the calendar that we have, that's the way it's going to have to be. That would be my recommendation.
Yeah, unfortunately, with the calendar and, you know, full disclosure, we could ask for an extension on GFOA. I think you're allowed to do that maybe once every couple years. The challenge with that is once we get into January, we're working on updating the forecast and moving into mid-year budget review, so it's too many open budget years, if you will, if we extend it. So it's important for us to, just from a workload perspective, get that in and submitted by December. Plus, I don't believe you can receive an extension every year. I think they have a limit on there, at least they used to. I think knowing that with the first set of comments that we received back from GFOA being in the proficient category, I think that's helpful and maybe comforting. And then to review it in January, keep getting comments back from the subcommittee or from this committee as a whole to continue to improve it.
Thank you, Jennifer. So with that, I would ask Lois if you had anything to add to that. And if not, then other members of the committee, if you have questions or comments.
My comment is one of congratulations. I think it's an extremely well-done document, should be a good resource throughout the year as a reference document. So kudos.
Process-wise, what happens now? I mean, one thing I guess you're recommending we do is that we, as a body, vote to approve this and put the dates in here and have Barbara sign it, I guess, or the two of you sign it, then the next question is, what's the anticipation of what staff should do with this? Because we don't want to put more burden on. Is it just a matter of please accept these recommendations, but they don't, there's not a requirement, and we're not expecting them to get back to us to comment on what we're doing, because that's just more work for them. I mean, we've given them free, excellent advice. So what's your expectation of what happens with this document and what you think staff ought to do with it relative to us submitting it?
Right. So for this year, this document is written to the City Council. So my assumption is that it would just be an attachment to the staff report for the February 11th presentation.
That would be my intention, yes.
Yeah. And then as far as, you know, what management can do with it, they can do with it as they please. But at least the City Council is aware of the information. And if the management considers it valid to be included next year, then it can be modified next year. So there's no additional workload this year. This would just be, these are just ideas to improve it for next year.
Thank you, John. I'll open this up for public comment. Go ahead, Bill.
You know, one thing, it's kind of a good and a bad news story. I think you did a great job. And last year, the auditor's report commented on the shortage of staff to do the enormous work that your department has. Not mentioned this year, the downside of doing such a great job with so few people. I think that's still an issue, that we really could use additional manpower, people power in the finance department, or do we no longer have that as an issue?
I'm going to step out on a limb here, knowing that my boss is sitting next to me and can correct me if he wants to. I think that's an ongoing issue in the majority, if not all, of the departments in the city. I don't think finance is necessarily a sole burden there, department with that burden. Unfortunately, with the PERS commitments and obligations, it's not feasible to add staff. And so we have to manage the workload that we can accomplish.
I just didn't think we would want to lose the reality that there is an overloaded workforce in the staff, and not lose that as this document goes forward. It's excellent being done by a very overworked staff. And as we get additional resources for the city, providing additional staff support is important. When you overwork people for a long period of time, you can only do that so long, and then you're going to start losing people, which is, we're very fortunate to have the talent we do today.
Thanks, Bill. Good comment. Anytime any of those, whatever it is, 23%, that's a definitely no. All we can do is communicate to them, and here's another example. You know, so. But I want to personally thank the subcommittee, Lois and John Martin. We are trying to balance, and we do want to help you, and we have a timing challenge here. It's December 31st, the busiest time of the year, plus we're looking at our Measure Q then. But we have the expertise here with John's municipal finance experience and a CFO here. We do want to help you where we can, but I also agree we shouldn't be going through iterations of changes trying to do that. So it may be we're giving you input for the next year, but you also know you can come to any of these individuals, and I'm sure if they had time or want, as John eloquently said, proofreading help or anything, they'd be happy to do that. So I want to personally thank them because they went through a lot of effort to do this, and it requires a very specific expertise that not all of us have. So thank you both. Go ahead, Homer. Comment?
I agree with what everybody said. I think the report is outstanding. Mm-hmm. I especially liked the first recommendation on page 2, which delineated the various unassigned funds that the city has available to us. And I'm hoping that the city staff and the auditor will take that in consideration for next year. Mm-hmm. But I also think those are really important numbers, and even though they are spread out through the budget, I think that if that chart could be included in the budget letter, it might be helpful to the people that, you know, the city council and other people that read that, where they see, you know, the total of funds that are available. Mm-hmm. Can I make some comments about the CAFRA itself?
Sure.
Just a minor comment.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that John pointed out in the memorandum was that he saw some swings in the statistical mm-hmm. section. Mm-hmm. One of the pages that caught my eye was page number 149, which detailed out the staffing, salaries, and benefits. And over the last year or so, 2 years, there's been a tremendous amount of conversation about the pension expense. And assuming these numbers are correct, in the last 5 years, the pension expenses increased by $69,000. The health expense has grown from $854,000 to $1,399,000. Or $600,000. The current health expenditures are almost as high as the pension expenditures. And the only point I want to make is I think that the city's staff and negotiating team, when they sit down with the collective bargaining units, mm-hmm. realize that this is getting very close to costing as much as about pensions, mm-hmm. and yet nobody is talking about it. Mm-hmm. That's the only suggestion I have. We need to make a motion to accept their report, I think. But one of the suggestions I have on the report that they probably won't like, but everybody else will, I think, is on the second sentence, it talks about the subcommittee. I think that there should be a parenthesis after the word subcommittee and John and Lois's name to be inserted. I mean, this is such a terrific report. They ought to get some.
Oh, absolutely.
Praise. That would be one of the suggestions I had.
I would agree with that. So are you going to be submitting this to Jennifer? Yeah. Okay. And put the date in and that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to make
titles?
Madam Chair, you want to make the motion to accept this?
Yes. Thank you for that comment and also about the health. But these are red flags and things that this is what we look for in summary reports. So, again, that's just that's a very good suggestion. And that's something that needs to be certainly, I guess, addressed at some point. But thank you. That is a good point. I'll make a motion that we accept the report as submitted with the changes that we've suggested.
I'll second the motion.
Seconded by Bill. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Motion carries 6-0. Excellent, excellent report. Thank you for your time and effort.
I do have a question now that we've done that. It's great that the $728,000 revenue versus expenditure numbers there, however we want to talk about that. It sounds like what you're saying is the causations for the savings will carry forward. Is that correct? For the most part? There's three reasons plus the savings themselves, $167,000 for CalPERS.
The reason that we had $728,000 or $7,000 in revenues over expenditures, the reasons that happened, we don't expect to happen this year. So, for instance, the vacancies in some of the departments, you know, we filled those hoping not to have any other separations from the cities. We'll be refining our sales tax figures at mid-year. We don't expect to end this current fiscal year with $700,000. However, the benefits of paying off the Tier 2 and PEPRA unfunded liabilities will carry forward.
One of the examples I thought I heard on the personnel in this number was the assistant city manager. Are you saying you're going to fill that going forward then?
The 727 was not, one of the vacancies that resulted in that figure was not the assistant deputy city manager. That was from 2 years ago.
I thought I heard that somewhere.
Yeah, Scott mentioned that during his opening, I think, for the summary of the polling. We had vacancies in the police department and public works.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So the other thing, now I don't disagree with what you're saying as to how to use this. What was number two as a way to use this, to build up reserves or what? What was the second consideration that you rejected in favor of this way to use those funds?
So actually the first, the natural first option is that it rolls into our general fund emergency reserve. By policy, we have minimum and target funding levels for those reserves. It would fall within, the fund balance falls within those target funding levels. This recommendation is really coming out of some of our pension reform and our thoughts and ideas on how to deal with our pension liabilities. If the council approves the recommendation to pay off those two tiers, we'll fall below our minimum funding level in the general fund emergency reserve. But we do have, by policy, 3 years to bring it back up to funding level if we can present a plan for that. We also have a revenues policy that states new revenues can only be considered for one-time expenditures or not to be included as ongoing expenditures for the first 2 years to make sure that they'll state their stable revenue sources. That would be something like the cannabis funds that we expect to receive once those shops open up. I expect we'd accumulate enough in our reserve to meet those funding levels within the 3 years.
Okay, thank you, Jennifer. That brings us to...
I have one more before
Leave
this topic.
Okay, please.
I'd like to make a motion and hopefully a second that we get for discussion. Since we now... The only way we now can communicate formally with the City Council is through motions. So that's why I'm proposing this. The motion I propose is the Finance Committee recommends that the City Council approves the city staff's request to pay off the unfunded liabilities for the city's Tier 2 and PEPRA funds. In other words, I just basically... copied Ms. Calloway's last paragraph on page 38 of 93 of her staff report.
I would second that.
All right, Bart seconded that.
The reason I propose that is, as she just mentioned, the CalPERS unfunded liabilities, the city's paying 7% annually on those unfunded funds. And this last LIFA, last investment report we got, our LIFA was returning a little, about 2%, John? Something like that? To me, paying 2% money, paying off 7% money with 2% money is an absolute no-brainer. And so why would anybody not do that?
Go ahead, John.
Well, Homer, I don't disagree with what you're saying. My only concern is that this particular thing is not on the agenda.
Okay, and here's my concern, and I just have a question, and maybe staff can. I didn't think the only way we could communicate with our leaders, City Council, was through a motion and a vote. I thought the new language also indicated the liaison or that information could be included in the staff report.
So. I just thought that I might reinforce, that we might reinforce a common sense recommendation, which I'm sure they'll approve anyway, but I thought that's the purpose of the committee is to advise them on financial issues. And it's sort of on our agenda, isn't it, because it's in the staff report?
Where is that paragraph? I'm sorry, page 38, you said, of the...
Page 38, last paragraph.
During the February?
Begins with during
February,
11.
Okay.
And I started with off the unfunded liabilities, pay off the unfunded liabilities, and just copied that last sentence.
I think because it's discussed in the staff report, and we are talking about the annual financial report, it's related to that. I think you're probably
I would agree with that. If it's in the staff report and he's making a motion based on something verbatim, pretty much from the staff report, we can discuss it. We don't have to, you know, support it, obviously, but we can certainly discuss it. A comment, Bill? Anything?
No, other than it's a long staff report, and Homer's motion is a pretty short motion in the way it's been presented in staff reports. The city CFAC has made the following recommendations, blah, blah, blah. It's just very, very likely to get approved. But
before we vote on this, I would have a question for Jennifer, because she did talk about the fact that this affects enterprise funds as well as just the general fund. And what's your plan to true that up in future years?
So,
because the money comes from the general fund.
This we're proposing to use. This is all general fund money that we'd propose to use. There isn't a clear breakout in the PERS actuarial reports on. We don't get a UAL by employee, for example. It's a flat amount. So to determine how much of that is owed by the harbor fund, the water fund, the sewer fund, could probably use a percentage of payroll or some kind of methodology, but there isn't an exact precise method for that. So we chose to set that aside, use the general fund, or we're recommending to use the general fund money to make those payoffs. All the funds will receive benefit from that, and it's a benefit to the city of Morro Bay and the citizens that pay, whether they're paying, you know, utility rates or sales tax or property tax. So we chose not to delineate that for this purpose.
I'm sorry, I didn't really understand how that affects the enterprise fund. So is the net effect that the general fund is going to be giving the enterprise funds money?
Yes.
Okay. Well, rather than do that, since the general fund really is the biggest concern, why wouldn't you just pay off the tier one for fire, which is completely within the general fund, and not worry about the overlap with the enterprise funds?
That could be an option too. Again, we were trying to target what we could control and those keeping those two tiers down or not letting them grow to unmanageable levels.
Okay, I mean the unfunded liability in the tier one fire is pretty big. I mean it's mm-hmm. it's bigger than 650,000 or whatever it is.
Right.
So that's something you could do that would not affect any other fund but the general fund.
There's numerous options we could apply to a different basis point in the miscellaneous classification. I mean, there's a variety of options that we could use to manage.
Well, I think if the intent is to help the general fund, that's the way I would recommend you proceed rather than tangling it up with the enterprise funds.
Actually, our intent to do this was to help the city as a whole and all the funds. We weren't looking at it just as general fund versus enterprise funds.
Right, but the enterprise funds, you have fee-based revenues, and you have more control over those.
We do. When we're able to, for instance, sure I should bring back this controversial topic, but with the security wall, the enterprise funds help to pay for that because we're comfortable with how to allocate out, you know, 30% of the activity there is generated from the utility customers coming in and the water payments and the amount of work up there. Didn't feel like there was a lot of question as to the methodology for determining that. It's pretty clear cut. We're able to, you know, document and support that. I can't do that as clearly with the actuarials, you know, percentage of payroll, how you want to do it. There, it isn't a clear method.
The problem is that you're dealing with avoided costs, and there's no way that you're going to get anybody to calculate for you what those exact avoided costs are in the future.
That's true, and they all will ultimately benefit the city of Morro Bay residents, whether they're, you know, general fund or utilities. It's going to be a lower operational cost than the utilities departments. So,
so I guess based on that, I would not support your motion as it is, Homer, because of the involvement with the enterprise funds.
Jen, let me ask you a question. Have you? I know. I see what you have in the staff report and the recommendation. Have you done all the analysis of this as, and or was this just Are you going to do more analysis, and in which case us making a motion based on not having all the data might be somewhat premature? Or is this pretty much you've done all, this is what you're going to recommend?
We've done a significant amount of analysis. Mm-hmm. We've had conversations with council, at least I think on two occasions, about the number of different possibilities for handling our pension. The only changes I would suspect from this, I'm asked for payoff requests from PERS. It'll refine the numbers a little bit. Interest savings will be a little bit more than I have forecasted in here. But otherwise, I expect this would be the recommendation going forward. I appreciate the point on the enterprise funds. We did talk about that. You know, the understanding that our harbor fund is in need of assistance to begin with. We obviously wouldn't be able to use enterprise funds to benefit the general fund, but we don't have the restrictions on the general fund. And again, the residents of the city are the users of the utilities. It's a benefit to them using general fund money with less operational costs. So we did discuss that internally and decided to go forward with the recommendation as it is.
Can I amend my motion?
Hang on, I have one more point. I understand John's concern, and I'm very concerned about that too, because I know sometimes you try to do things to facilitate matters, but the separation of the enterprise funds and the general fund, I think, is very important with what's going on right now. So go ahead, your comment.
It's my understanding that money can't come from the enterprise funds through the general fund unless it can be justified. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that it can't go the other way. But anyway, I'd like to amend the motion to maybe satisfy your request. The Finance Committee recommends that the City Council approves the city staff's request to pay off unfunded pension liabilities.
Go ahead.
We're going to go by Roberts. We're going to get a second, then you can have discussion.
I'm sorry. I was trying to clarify the motion, but yes, go. You want to make a second?
I'll second.
Okay, thanks, Bart. Yeah.
Okay, so the original motion and second are gone. Okay. Jennifer, is there any hurry to do this?
There's no hurry other than, for instance, if we pay off in March, it's an additional interest savings. Every month you get a little bit of additional interest savings.
Okay. So there really isn't a need to take action on February 11th City Council meeting?
Other than, I think, the Council's objective to address pension liabilities, there isn't a clock ticking that if we don't do this by a certain point, we can never do it.
Okay. Well, here's my concern is this committee's weighing in on this issue with really incomplete information, and the Council really hasn't asked us to weigh in on this issue particularly, and there has been plenty of opportunities for them to do that because they've been looking at it for a long time, so I don't know that they even want us to weigh in on it. But there are other options that if the Council does want this committee to look at them, we could. So, for example, you have 9 separate retirement plans. You have a Tier 1, a Tier 2, and a PEPRA, fire, police, and miscellaneous, right? And each of those 9 plans, in theory, can be paid off individually, or as an option, you could choose to accelerate the amortization table for any one of those 9 plans, and there are numbers that CalPERS presents to you for savings on any of those options. So I think without this committee seeing any of those options, it would be premature for us to make any kind of a recommendation to the City Council, even if the City Council wants us to. So I would recommend that we not proceed on this at this time.
I'd like to follow up on that. Thank you, John. The Council has made the fiscal sustainability the number one priority. This has been requested to come back. We're trying to deliver on the City Council's goals, and this is one of the key action items. They did not ask for CFAC to make a formal recommendation, as you noted. We certainly like to run things by this committee. You're very talented, very well-experienced, smart group. But time is of the essence on this, and so I think we can carry forward the concerns about general fund supporting other funds to City Council, and if they feel it's appropriate that it come back to this committee, they can direct that to occur. So totally hear what you're saying.
Any other comments? Do you want to amend your motion again, Homer?
Yeah, I'll just withdraw it.
Or do you want to amend it like with a proviso? Or okay. Okay. This isn't over. All right. Thank you. We will move on to item B. Where are we? B4. Review of the business item B4, review of the budget dates and CFAC meeting dates. Thank you, Jennifer, for that. We had requested that.
Absolutely. So this is really for planning purposes for the committee, and I did want to announce the committee plays a very important role in our budget review process, has provided valuable feedback, and we received notification this afternoon that we received the Distinguished Budget Award from GFOA for our 19-20 budget, and that's the first year we submitted for that. So we were happy to receive that, and that really is, you know, the committee's feedback, our council's feedback, and all of the staff and all the departments that work on the budget. It's not something that just the finance department puts together. We request a lot of detailed information on performance measures and goals and objectives and statistics that go into that, and that's all criteria that's required to receive that award. So we did just get the letter today. There'll be a press release that goes out, but really outlines that the guidelines for receiving this are that your budget is a comprehensive policy document, reflects a solid financial plan, can serve as an operations guide and a communication device. So the budget coupled with the CAFR really do provide a lot of great information to the community and anybody that's interested in looking that up or reading about that. So thank the committee for their participation last year and their feedback. And we've outlined the proposed budget calendar. This was approved by the City Council during the January 14th meeting. So this is more for informational for this committee. And then there was some question during our last discussion on the months that this committee would not meet per the updated advisory handbook. There was concerns about overlapping with the quarterly reports for the WHRF. And so we have outlined the months of, let's see, June,
August
and September, and that should avoid any missing any of the quarterly reports as well as any of the major work functions of this committee.
Where is that? What page?
Page 46. Yeah, third paragraph, middle of the page. In addition, that paragraph, read that. Right, I did see this was approved at the...
Okay.
Yeah, so we had requested it not be July and August, dark months, and this is the best they could do to accommodate the schedule. We appreciate that. Any comments, questions on the schedule?
I have a suggestion for a schedule for us. Probably get shot down again, but I'll give it a try.
Thank you, Homer. Go ahead. Hand up. Maybe give it. Do they have one? Is there an extra one there? Okay.
To save your time on this, I'm suggesting that we drop from 9 to recommend to the City Council we drop from 9 meetings to 7. And I've gone through the calendar, and I've looked at the last couple of years' agendas and seen what we've discussed. And the reason I'm making this suggestion, it's not to save us time, but these three nice young ladies that are sitting here, I'm guessing are spending 3, 4, 5 hours at each one of our meetings, times 3. And so you're talking about, you know, two-thirds of a week in terms of man-hours. And all things being equal, I'd rather that they be sitting at their desk trying to figure out ways to increase revenue or reduce expenses. And I don't know whether anybody agrees that we need to meet nine times, but I think I've tried to cover all of the key responsibilities that we've had on this summary. John, you want to? I'm expecting you to say something.
Okay, so first of all, we're not going to single out any other members. We're all going to be polite,
I'm going to call on
people in order. We're not going to shout out. Go ahead, Homer.
Ms. Calloway was given a copy of this prior to the meeting, so she may have a comment.
Okay. So basically what you're saying is in an effort to reduce the drain on some of the resources and maybe some months where we're doing duplicate things, to reduce the meetings consistent with the council's goal from 9 to 7, we need to think about that. My real question would be, can we accomplish what's in our work plan with the 7 meetings? And that doesn't mean several of us couldn't come to some of these budget review and the workshops and other things, as I've seen several of us do. It's more the formality of the meetings and all the prep involved from the city staff. So am I reading that or interpreting that correctly?
Just want to make sure. Absolutely. And the only thing that, for instance, on the calendar that she presented in her staff report, the only thing that I didn't include was our March meeting to do the budget update. But the budget is so preliminary at that stage of the game that, mm-hmm. you know, the numbers all change and, you know.
Well, you still could be following along with their meetings and their drafts and et cetera.
And opening up August and September for the city staff, considering that's that fall period where they're trying to get the books closed, the audit done, I'm sure they would prefer not to be here.
Well, they've already recommended June, August, September as dark, so I think there's nothing to...
So anyway...
So you're just adding two more months onto the dark
months. Ms. Calloway's got any comments?
I don't have any comments. I think that the months that were selected, March and November, tend to be lighter workload months for us anyways. I don't see any conflict with our investment report. So overall, I think it could work. I don't really see it impeding your ability to accomplish your goals.
Okay. Thank you. And you've had enough. You didn't just receive this 30 minutes before the meeting, right? You've had some time to think about it. I know Homer probably...
30 seconds before the meeting.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So let's start on the right. Bart, any comments, questions?
I'm okay either way. In fact, I think I said that last month mm-hmm. when I was really more concerned about which ones were being excluded.
Right.
And
exactly.
I think I even said going fewer mm-hmm. would be okay. So I'm okay either way. And I guess I'd like to hear from Mr. Collins as to, since it's his staff.
Good question, Bart. Yeah, council did review kind of all of the committees, and mm-hmm. you know, as mentioned earlier, we do run lean, and it's a lot of administrative staff that help support the committees who do really good work mm-hmm. for the community and the city. You know, if the work can be accomplished in fewer meetings, we certainly support that. But that really, we want to. We have to feel confident that the committee believes that they can accomplish that workload.
Okay.
So that, you know, from our vantage point, we can support it.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. And some of the workload's done by our subcommittees as well, so thank you. Bill?
No, I think it's a good idea. When do we do Measure Q? December, and then we do that in August? Would those be the two months?
December and January, pretty much, I think. Well, I'm sorry.
I don't know. Is it just...
The legislation... we have to do it within 6 months of the close of the fiscal year. That's the way the legislation was written. So traditionally it's been in December, and I think sometimes in November. But December's fine.
We have to wait till we have the data. That's usually the problem. Or we do it sooner. Okay, thanks. John, your thoughts?
I just had a question about a date, the April CFAC meeting. On one page you've got the 15th, the other page you've got the 21st. I think it's the 21st, right?
It's the 21st,
yeah. Sorry if I missed that. And then the council meeting wouldn't be until the following week? Not the next day?
April 27th, 2nd is the date that we had proposed to deliver the budgets to council. We try to give them a couple weeks to review it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Before it's on the agenda.
Okay, that's not a meeting date. I'm sorry.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Lois, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm in favor. I understand working with the short staff and the challenges that presents, and it looks to me like we can probably, other more seasoned members of the committee certainly understand the workload better than I, but I'm in favor.
Thank you, Lois. And Homer, we know where you stand. You think this is not going to be even suggested, so we may surprise you. Okay, I'll open up for public comment on that subject. Welcome.
Thank you. Green light, or can you hear me? You can hear me.
Yes, thank you.
Tina Wiener. Just one question as potential new member. The potential survey and sales tax increase or suggestion, and the mention that outreach would be required by this committee when Scott presented, does that change the workload of
the
committee? Do I sit down now?
Yeah, it's usually not question and answer.
Okay.
But thank you for that comment, and we typically try to address comments from the public while we can, and Mr. Collins may want to say thank you for your input.
Yeah, good question, and to clarify, the committee won't be doing the outreach, staff will be doing the outreach, but the committee will more than likely review this prior to council fully vetting it, so that could work with the schedule as presented.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Yeah, the other comment, you can certainly always call on one or two members of the committee to help, you know, which and we don't have to have a formal meeting to provide assessments or a review.
And further, if this was adopted by council, there's always the opportunity to have a special meeting if something is very important that this
arises.
Right.
Yeah, good point. We've had special meetings, especially around budget time and that, so that's a good point.
Yeah.
John.
Yeah, the only question I have, and maybe Marlis can address this. So the policies for the committees were just recently approved by the council, and they set up our schedule, correct? So I imagine the council must have had reasons for saying that the committee should meet 9 times a year.
Actually, we were considering all of the advisory boards, not any one in particular, and we really were just trying to cut down on the amount of staff time related to servicing these committees, and we didn't really set a schedule for each one. In fact, that's why we actually changed it in response to the comments, I think, that were made by this committee in terms of when are the best months for you guys to meet. You can always cancel a meeting if there isn't business to conduct, and you can always add a committee meeting if there's something comes up and you can create a special one. So it wasn't just this committee that we said 9. It was in general.
Okay. So if we can get the work done in 7 meetings a year and get you the information that you need on the council with only 7 meetings a year, then that's fine with you.
Right. The Rec and Parks Committee meets 6 times a year. So, it really does depend on the workload, and it depends on the ability to get it done, and we're always balancing staff time and the input and whatnot. So I would just forward that and as a recommendation in your staff report, and the council could consider it.
Thank you.
Thank you for that clarification. Any other comments?
Make a motion.
Go ahead.
I make a motion that we recommend to the City Council the number of meetings that the Finance Committee will have will be reduced from 9 to 7.
With 2 additional, according to this proposal or the schedule submitted by Mr. Alexander. Is that sufficient?
Well, I wasn't going to limit my idea of what's supposed to be on the calendar. I would hope that Ms. Calloway's in agreement, but...
Okay. I was going to add with the addition of the two additional dark months being March and November.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's repeat that so we make sure we have the motion correctly.
I recommend this Finance Committee recommends to the City Council that the number of meetings in a fiscal year be reduced from 9 to 7, with the additional dark months of
being March
and November.
Or with the additional dark months from the current schedule being March and November. Is that clear?
Just the wording, to get hung up on process, the wording on this is what's in the words is a recommendation. We're approaching this as if that's already in place, but it's a recommendation, so we're just...
Didn't I say recommendation?
Yeah, but it's what's there... is a recommendation. It's not in place.
Right.
What's there is a schedule we saw last month, I think.
Right?
So this is recommending modifying that schedule. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, again, ticky-tack. We're basically, we're just suggesting that the overall recommendation be what you've got.
I think what the council approved was meeting 9 times a month.
Yeah,
so the recommendation would be to meet only 7 times a month. And then we set the months that those meetings will be on hiatus.
I'm sorry, Bart. Yeah, I also thought the 9 meetings was the current schedule, and Homer's motion to reduce from the current 9 meetings to 7 meetings with the 2 additional dark months of March and September, November, March and November. If that hadn't been approved by council, then you would be correct, Bart.
I'm just going off what it says here. It says it's recommended. So wording that says it's recommended implies it's not in place and approved.
Council did not dictate which months we weren't meeting. So mm-hmm. we were recommending June, August, September.
I see.
So the recommendation is that I think Mr. Alexander wants to make is to meet 7 times a year versus 9. And then this committee can decide on which months those are based on workload.
That clarifies it. So now, logistically, the question is, do we have to list all 5 months we want to go dark? We accept your recommendation of 3 plus March and November.
Isn't that in the motion?
That should be the motion.
It was second, so can we just...
see what Tracy has.
Tracy, what do you have? Yeah.
I recommend to the City Council that the number of meetings in the fiscal year be reduced from 9 to 7, with the 2 additional dark months being March and November.
Excellent. Added to the staff's
recommendation of the other 3.
Okay. All right. CFAC recommends to City Council that the number of meetings in a fiscal year be reduced from the recommended 9 to 7 meetings, with the 2 additional dark months being March and November.
Jennifer, are you okay with that? Or the other way to say it would be the CFAC recommends the meeting schedule be reduced to 7 meetings, comma, with the dark meetings being blah, 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 blah. That would be, because yours was only a recommendation. I think that was hanging up, Bart. So instead of saying the 2 additional ones being that, well, what are the first 3? Just put it
right
in the agenda.
Can I call the question?
What?
Can we vote?
Well, we've got to get the agenda. The motion. Just add with the additional 5. Assume somebody reads this and doesn't understand what the first 3 were.
So make sure the maker of the motion is okay with that, and then do we have a second?
Okay. Is the maker of the Homer, are you okay with what I just said? Comma with the 5. Okay.
Is there a second?
Is there a second to that?
Yeah, I'll second.
Bill seconded. Okay, everybody understands? 7 meetings. Dark meetings will be March, June, August, September, and November. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 6 what? Will this affect our, yeah, 0 times 0, 0. Yes. Motion carries, 6-0. Thank you, Homer. That was a good suggestion. Now, remember, this isn't cast in concrete. This will go to City Council, and they will vote or approve it. But with the caveat that we feel confident we can do what's needed on the work plan. So thank you all. All right, B5, business item 5, review of the WRF Capital Project Quarterly Update Report. And that's included in your agenda packet. And who will be presenting that from staff? Is that you, Mr. Leivick?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to pass some copies of the presentation out to the board so
we can read
you
it.
Don't have to crane your neck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members, Rob Leivick, Public Works Director. I'm here pinch hitting for a contract program manager, giving the review of the Water Reclamation Facility Capital Project Quarterly Update Report. And we'll dive into this right now. The recommendation is for the committee to receive the report. Review of the process, it's a single report for both the committee and the City Council. It produces each month, and we track actual expenditures. We expand that report every third month at the close of the quarter and provide a budget reconciliation. The budget and schedule are rebaselined annually to coincide with the budget process. And the last baseline was on July 1. In summary, the project is on budget. We are in line with our $126 million budget that was a part of the rate study. There are several major elements of the project that are tracking behind schedule. Notice to proceed, which was due either the 22nd or 23rd of October, depending on who you ask, has not yet been issued due to consultation with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service over California regulated frog issues on the site. We expect that consultation to be complete. I think we asked for January 22nd, EPA thinks it'll be a day or two within the 22nd deadline. And in fact, EPA is now projecting a signing of the loan on February 14th. But we are still in compliance with meeting our time schedule order requirements, the regional board, and having a plant operational before that deadline of February 28th, 2023. We expect to have substantial completion of the project April 11th, 2022. Here's a graphic that's with data from the report going over the budget history, showing the changes to the amounts that we can expect to be spending on the project. The water reclamation facility, based on approved change orders, has gone from $62 million to about $72 million. Conveyance facilities, due to incorporating the mainly the water reclamation pipeline into the conveyance facility project, goes from $21 to $29 million. The recycled water facilities has dropped, deleting the conveyance pipeline. Overall project, general project management, and the general program has dropped from $24 million estimated in 17-18 to currently what we're looking at $11.7 million. And we're holding about $7.3 million in construction contingency. There's been minimum changes in the water reclamation facility. To date, about $1.6 million in change orders with the project. Conveyance and recycling water facilities, there's been, due to requirements, avoidance measures, working with U.S. Fish and Wildlife, biological monitoring is now going to be required along the pipeline at our creek crossing, so where we cross Morrow Creek with a pipe bridge and where we're boring underneath Willow Camp Creek on the bike path requires additional work. In addition, we've had to do some pre-construction testing for potential archaeological resources along the pipeline route to better define those the mapped archaeological resources aren't precise because the work the resources have never been exposed. But their estimates where they are, so we'll be doing boring and sampling to better define the limits of those archaeological resources. If we do not encounter those resources within the limits of construction, we're not going to try to define exactly where they are. We know we won't hit any archaeological resources. So if it's outside the road prism, we're not going to chase that the limits until we find it, because we know the project will be mainly constructed inside the road prism. And overall project, minimal changes. This is out of the, out of the report where we have the accomplishments and challenges to the project. We've delivered a PA, programmatic agreement, with SHPO, so that's been executed. We have a fully executed CDP, so we went to hearing in July of last year, and we've delivered the required documents to be issued the coastal development permit in November. We've executed an agreement with the Tri-W property on the purchase and are currently in escrow on the property. And the design-build team continues to move forward the design to the 90% design. Some of the challenges that we're facing, there will be additional PCOs that the city has identified and that we are currently evaluating costs from the contractor to see whether we want to proceed forward with those PCOs. We are looking to minimize those impacts of future PCOs. And the outcome is any PCOs will increase or unlikely decrease the guaranteed maximum price, but we are effort is being taken to maintain those PCOs to basically what we need to effectively operate the facility. On the conveyance facility, we're continuing to move forward with the design. The delivery, I believe, is expected at the end of this week, right around the 24th of this month, for the 90% design plans for the conveyance system. Some of the challenges we've had is with the environmental resources along the pipeline route to and then to get access for survey and geotechnical testing along the pipeline as it goes through Vistra and PG&E property. We have been able to gain that access and do that testing, and we've scheduled that testing for on the recycled water facilities for our hydrogeological consultant, GSI, to complete that hydrogeo work, the pump testing and installation of a piezometer to see what the groundwater basin's reaction is to that pumping. This is out of the project report, and it's the project dashboard. One of my least favorite graphics from the report. It does provide a lot of information on the schedule of the project. Mainly, we are in a green light status with schedule and the compliance date countdown are in the yellow, mainly due to delays due to environmental issues. Planned expenditures versus current. As you can see, we maintain expenditures below what the estimated expenditure burn rate we thought would happen. I'm not saying that's a good thing because we should be out there building and receiving invoices for construction. So I'd be happier if we were closer to that that line. So here's a listing of expenditures to date for the various components of the project. From the general project costs are sitting at about 51% expended. The WRF construction, design and construction, 8.1% expended. Conveyance facilities, 3% expended. Recycled water facilities about 4%, so overall about 10.7% complete with expenditures, with a total expenditure towards the project being $15.5 million out of the $26 million project. The rolled up schedule for the project is attached here, which is also in the report that gives an indication to where we are on various components of the project. And probably more valuable here is a listing of the milestones, where we're at on various components. And as you can see, as I summarize, we are behind on the construction of the WRF facility and the estimated completion of the conveyance system. We will, based on the schedule, will complete substantial compliance before the time schedule order issued by the regional board, and not face any fines from the state of California. Trying to recover, get back closer to the schedule, continue to work with California Department of Fish and Wildlife on the permit to cross Morro Creek and Caltrans encroachment permit for those facilities that are within Highway 1. We're working on the enhanced source control. So as part of the reuse of water, we need to make sure that what is discharged to the sewer system is in line with what should be discharged. So we'll require some our current source control is basically dealing with restaurants on their fat oils and greases. We'll expand that to look at businesses that have the potential to discharge chemicals and minimize those discharges. The Title 22 engineering report is in development. That is the report that State Water Board, Division of Drinking Water, will use in the permitting process for use of reclaimed water in direct potable reuse. And we continue to move forward on the funding. When we complete the environmental for the EPA WIFIA loan, we'll also have completed it for the SRF process, the State Water Board's State Revolving Fund loan program. And then they can move on to completing the technical, financial, and legal review for that clean water SRF package. As you might recall, although it's outside of the quarter, City Council and the Public Facilities Finance Corporation executed the loan documents with WIFIA at their last meeting, setting us up for that hopefully sweet day in February where EPA will sign those loan documents on February 14th. As I stated earlier, the purpose of this is for you to receive the Water Reclamation Facility Quarterly Update Report, and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Rob. Let's see. Does anybody have any specific questions? Bill, please.
Yeah. Rob, could you explain just what it means to be in escrow in the Tri-W property? I recall that being the same statement that was made in December. Do we own the property now? Can we back out of it now? Or what is the terminology that you use? What does it actually mean?
It's like being in escrow on your house. Each side of the transaction needs to submit certain paperwork. So we needed to put funds into escrow with the title company. We needed to sign certain documents, receipt of the deed, and then the owner has been unavailable to sign the deed transferring property to the city until this week. We expect to close escrow on Friday, so we will likely own the property on Friday.
I hope so. We've been hearing likely own it in a couple of days for a long time, so I would like to make sure we do own it. So thank you very much for that explanation. Okay.
Go ahead, Bart.
Okay, I've got some observations, some questions, and a couple of recommendations. First observation, notice to proceed, you said October. The baseline schedule dated July 1st had a starting August 2nd of 2019. I heard you say that here we are on Monday Tuesday the 21st, and you're saying, knowing it's literally just one day ahead, you're thinking we're going to get the approval tomorrow. That's hope we do. I'm just saying that I would generally thinking if somebody thinks something's going to happen tomorrow, not within the next week or 2 weeks, that you literally believe it's going to be tomorrow. Question on page 12, what is the extra $2 million that takes us from the actual expenditures in the spreadsheet to the 15 that's highlighted in red? That was a question.
Yes.
Go ahead with your, and then he'll.
Oh okay. Let's see. Okay, and again, on the, this is sort of observations again. The February 3rd in the plan completion, well, it's got a date, but it's begin construction. You've got February 3rd. In the text of the report, you talk about February or March. So I was unclear. I mean, if we're so sure we're going to get this literally tomorrow and start, there is a mobilization set of schedule items that need to take place. You don't literally just go boom. You know, you can't tell the contractor to go. They've got to make sure they've got all the equipment in place. They go out. They've got to set up the trailers and a lot of other things. But anyway, the text said February or March. This says a specific date. The funds collected from SRF, this is going to be in the form of a recommendation. And it's similar in my mind to decisions being made to draw down the CalPERS funds. We have the ability to get, presumably, up to the cost of the main facility in loans at very low interest loan rates. I would think we would want to really take advantage, to the extent possible, of those low interest loans, rather than using monies collected through 218s to repair pipelines. So basically, I won't get into sort of my editorializing on that, but the way we keep the rates down in the near term is to use money collected to repair pipes that I believe need to be repaired. We've got the opportunity to get some low interest funds, and if we don't do that, it would seem that down the road we're going to need to raise the $15-20 million to $30 million that have been collected to repair the pipes and raise those funds some other way, very likely at a rate, or possibly at a rate higher than what we're able to do now. So it does not, without even getting into the legalities of how that was done, it seems like it would be prudent, and I don't need to comment back because people I'm addressing are sitting in the audience, but it does seem like that would be a much more prudent way to go. And this is another question now, what's the magnitude of the PCOs? And when I say magnitude, 500,000, a million, 3 million, whatever the number is, just some sense of about what it is. And the Vistra issue, literally the only issue that had been identified literally from the start of these reports was with Vistra. It's still there. I guess now I'd really like to understand what is going on with whatever this Vistra issue is that's happening, and who is responsible for resolving something that's been literally at one point the only issue we had. And please confirm that all city costs are included in your estimates. For example, the $1 million for electricity, and I'm not asking you to go back now to do that, but when I brought that up before to Mr. Caceres, he did not know what I was talking about, but said all city costs were included. So there's others besides that, but that's clearly the biggest one. In fact, that seems high in my opinion as to why it would be that large. The public outreach. The report says you've talked to 70 businesses. Is that 70 out of 70? Or is that 70 out of 80? Now, it may be that number fluctuates as business, like the dollar store. Was that one or two contacts? I don't know. And then I'm curious as to what they have been told relative to the disruption. I mean, what is it that you tell them is going to happen? Or is it that you don't know, you just want to keep them apprised and say that you'll let them know when you know what the disruption is going to be? But how do they understand that? That's it.
Okay, so thank you, Bart. If there's a couple questions in that you can answer, that would be great. I think you have some excellent questions and points, but we have agreed that we're going to try to get some of these ahead of time of our meeting to the staff so they can get them answered.
I apologize. I had a personal issue that I could go into with you, but okay. I was otherwise in the hospital all day yesterday. But sorry that I didn't get that in while I was in the hospital.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Go ahead. Okay. I'm sorry to hear that. Thank you. Can you answer any of that?
Yes.
Okay, good.
approval tomorrow is what we asked for. We don't know that we'll actually get that. EPA is the lead agency. They're the ones dealing directly with U.S. Fish and Wildlife. Once U.S. Fish and Wildlife finishes their consultation, they'll notify EPA. EPA will complete the NEPA review and then tell us we can issue a notice to proceed. Of course, the contractor will likely not be moving dirt that day. They, as you stated, they need to get their construction trailers out there. They need to get temporary power out to the site. But what we're concerned about contractually is that notice to proceed date, is to get the contractor, because that's the October date in the contract that they needed, that we needed to issue a notice to proceed. Otherwise, we trigger potential claims for delay and escalation. So that's part of the PCOs that we're negotiating. We're a ways apart on completing that negotiation. They think one number, we think another number. As for the magnitude of PCOs, it's several $1 million in PCOs if you include all the delay costs. But we're negotiating that down because we have a different interpretation of what that delay means. That we had up until October 22nd to issue that notice to proceed. The contractor has a different interpretation of the contract, and we're are you exercising our use of the city attorney's office to help us with that contract work. Just a point, SRF will only fund up to the amount that WIFIA is funding. So because SRF, State Revolving Fund, Clean Water State Revolving Fund is oversubscribed statewide. There's more need for that money than there is money available in the state of California. So they're trying to stretch their dollars, and they are working cooperatively with EPA to fund the project. So while we were approved for $100 million in the intended use plan, likely will be somewhere around $63 million in loan and $5 million in grant. But we can't fund more than the project costs. That if the city chose to do that, that would free up additional funds for capital projects. Who is responsible for resolving the Vistra issue? It's a team effort. So from city manager on down, he is liaising with the executives at Vistra. We are also using our city attorney's office should we need to go with another form of property acquisition, although we would like to negotiate. Cities have other ways to acquire property through the eminent domain process, but we need to complete negotiations before we go down that route.
Okay, that was what I didn't. So what it is we're trying to buy it, and either they don't like our price or don't want to sell it. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, they don't.
I don't need to get into negotiation, but is that the fundamental issue, is that
we're trying to acquire an easement, buy an easement. They disagree what the value of that easement is worth, although it's been appraised. And we are, cities are limited to what we can expend on basically 10% over fair market value has met the court tests, and we can't expend more than that. PG&E is another issue. They would love to negotiate with us over acquisition of the property, but they suggested going through eminent domain would be much quicker since they're in federal bankruptcy court, eminent domain, you deal with a superior court judge as opposed to a federal judge through bankruptcy. So their local right-of-way folks have been very helpful in acquiring the property. They just have their hands kind of tied with how you acquire property with PG&E right now.
Thank you, Rob.
Public outreach. I don't know the exact number of businesses that are on Quintana, and from what I understand, the majority have been contacted. The work effort is more we're giving what generally will happen. It'll be a major construction project on Quintana. There'll be limitations, and what we're trying to learn from those businesses is what times really are there critical times for deliveries, pickups, when they absolutely can't have their driveway closed off, so that we can work that into the performance requirements to the contractor. So the design team in the city won't be developing the traffic control plans. We'll require the contractor do that, but we'll give them basically hard rails that they'll have to work within on those traffic control plans.
Thank you. And I understand the CEO of the Chamber of Commerce has been reaching out for some period of time with these businesses.
Yes, she's been very helpful in helping us do that outreach program.
Thank you. Anything else, Rob?
Oh, the overall project cost. So like electricity and another cost that we don't see in the $26 million is what the debt service will be. So it is not a complete project cost. I think you've pointed that out before. Yeah,
but I was wrong. The debt service is in the rate calculations.
It is in the rate calculations, but it's not
it
in
there. I was concerned before. But I have looked at the rate calculations. In the case of that, I was incorrect. The loan cost of $7 or $8 million, whatever it is, gets factored in when they do the rates. So that's, I realize it's not, would not be part of this.
Okay.
Thank you, Rob.
I just wanted to clarify one point.
Yes.
On the SRF funds, the city could use the cash. If we were to take full financing of the project, mm-hmm. the city could use cash for capital projects, or
okay.
could use it to pay down rates or other purposes. Just want to make sure that's a council decision. Not, mm-hmm. you know, we don't have enough information to make a strong recommendation one way or another, but Bart's point is important to note that it could be used for that purpose mm-hmm. as well.
Okay. At this time, you don't have enough in that
Correct.
Could change in the future. All right,
and
good point.
I understand that near term, you may need the money for cash flow.
Thank you, Bart. Bill?
You know, the report has required a lot of study in the past to really understand what the real costs are. Now, just a quick look at the charts that we just received with the numbers that we saw in December are alarming. You know, total expended costs for the project, $15.5 million, you highlighted in here. December, they were only $13 million. We haven't been in construction, so it's $2.5 million during the Christmas holiday in this month. We know we are delayed. You know, it's tough to see a stoplight chart that says we're on cost or on schedule. That bothers me. The WRF, it's total expended costs to date on this chart, $6.23 million. December was $4.56 million. So they're not to finish the design. That amount of money that was allocated for design is already finished. So I presume the money must be construction, the other part of the overland cost, which means they've spent $1.7 million this last month. So just observations. But again, complexity of the report and getting the right numbers is a challenge. Last meeting, Eric gave us a proposal which put all the project contract costs, expenditures to date, the elements of those project costs, if they are design and construction, and then what the estimated complete are. The essential elements to manage or oversee any project on one page. And so a motion was made last week or last month, and it will be presented to Council for their February 11th meeting. Along with that motion, I'd like to propose that we also, in fact, one of the comments that was made at the last CFAC meeting, Bart made it as a reason that you'd want to put a table that's as simple as Table 3, the proposal that Eric presented to us, is that it would enable us to go ahead and remove several tables in the report. We didn't have a hard number. I subsequently took a look, and there are 8 tables that could be totally eliminated or partially eliminated, and certainly the verbiage with each of those tables can be greatly simplified. So the report total now being 43 pages could be greatly simplified, but then would be much more transparent and enable people to see it. So I would like to accompany the proposed Table 3, which I assume will be in the staff report that's presented to City Council. Is that a yes? Maybe Jennifer or Scott could say, you know, it'll be more than just, you know, a proposed Table 3. Will this proposed Table 3 be presented then?
The proposed modifications to the report will be
yes.
Presented, but it won't be,
oh,
the
right.
Report won't reflect.
Yeah, but just to show how all of it could be put on one page. And I'd like to then say, maybe make a motion that when this, if this proposed table were incorporated, it would enable the removal of up to 10 tables from the report and a significant reduction in the verbiage associated with those tables. You want me to repeat that, Tracy, or?
I thought we already had the motion, and you're including it in the staff report that for consideration.
Putting in the new table, but there was discussion last time that we didn't want to add more things to the report, but this becomes a way to reduce the complexity and size of the report, reduce the tables, and then instead of having people like your CFAC go through and say, gee, the numbers are different in these different parts, which they have always been, this way it's all, the essential numbers are in one place. What the contract cost is, expenditures to date, what the estimated complete is.
Without your fellow committee members knowing which tables you're...
That's what I was just thinking, Scott.
Right. So
Bill was kind enough, I think one of us raised a question about, well, what's this really do and, you know, how many changes are we going to make? And so he went back and did some research and said he thinks, in his opinion, I haven't had time to review that. I don't think anybody has seen that. So it makes it a little hard, Bill,
I have.
Motion.
I have. And okay. I think all of those tables are very valid, and they've got data on them that certain people would really appreciate, especially people that are not as familiar with numbers. Mm-hmm. Most of those tables have percentages in them. Mm-hmm. And I think there's an awful lot of people that are much more comfortable looking at a percentage than they are looking at
absolute numbers.
$14,633. That's my personal opinion. And so I'm not in favor, personally, I'm not in favor of, I won't support Mr. Bowles's recommendation. Will not.
Well, therefore, the effort that we put forth last time, the proposal.
I'm not suggesting that Table 3 not be included. I'm just suggesting that deleting
8 others.
8 others is not something that I can get behind. That's all.
Well, maybe people need to look at it, but maybe the verbiage should be by incorporating this table, a number of the other tables, up to 8, my assessment, could be deleted or significantly reduced and simplified.
Okay, so Bill, you've made your motion. Is there support for seconding that motion?
I second. I second.
Okay, Bart second the motion. Any further discussion or questions?
Well, let me make sure the okay. What Bill is suggesting, and maybe we can revise the words, but he's saying that I think we ought to look at the other eight tables, or Eric or Scott should look at the other eight tables, and you'll see what we're talking about. How, quite frankly, I would not like to be Eric and having to make sure the same number shows up, same number on all these different tables. Whether or not you actually delete the eight tables, but I think some sort of consolidation by somebody looking at it and realizing it's got to be a nightmare for whoever is putting these together to make sure that the numbers are all consistent, because you've got, just think about the number 126 million, right? That shows up on about seven tables. And whether or not it's always exactly the same number, you know, it makes it tough. But that, to me, is a good example of what Bill's talking about. Now, if we need to modify it, I just say, just please look at it. But here's a suggestion of how to improve the efficiency. And maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like you'd want to at least look at that to understand what he's trying to say. And Homer's fine. Now, maybe you don't get rid of eight tables because there is some minor things to do.
If you look at these tables, I mean, Homer's comment, your table 8 is overland construction. And it gives you the expenditures to date, total contract cost, and then the percentage. Who the hell? The table that we have that Eric gave us gives the contract cost, the contract price to date, expenditures to date, what the estimate complete is. It doesn't say expenditures to date were $9 million out of $100 million. That's 9%. If people really want percentages, the next table is what waterworks engineering are. That's part of the conveyance facilities. And again, the same thing. All it is expenditures to date, total contract cost, and then the percentage of expenditures. And then it goes on and on with redundant information. Yeah, there's a percentage next to each one of them, but yeah.
Okay, so anyway, here's where I think we're at, Bill. Yeah. That's certainly a good suggestion. I would like to see what the feedback is on the first motion we made to even include additional table. And I also noticed on the, I think it was the January 11th council meeting, there was another Exhibit J that WIFIA or somebody is requiring that had some estimate and completion dates and some additional information. And while we might want to see things for the public or for general consumption, there's a whole lot of other complex reports that are going to be required here, and I think it's premature for us to keep manipulating and changing the formats and the way we want to see things. I would prefer to see what's going to happen with our suggestion on Table 3 and what other requirements are coming in from the various agencies. And the staff has heard our requests, and if they can eliminate eight tables that nobody else wants, you know, from agencies to staff to council to advisory boards to citizens, they will do that, I'm sure. I think we're too far down in the weeds related to this agenda item, but that's just my opinion. Any other comments? Thank you.
I think that, for what it's worth, you're right on point, Chairwoman, and that one of the primary concerns of the council was to develop a report format, approve that report format, and then that would be consistent from month to month to quarter to quarter, mm-hmm. so you could go back at any point in time and get the same information in the same format and not having to be searching through different report formats for that. So to the extent that we are starting to eliminate tables or recommend that, it takes away from that goal and purpose of what the council is trying to achieve in improving these report formats.
Okay. Thank you for that. All right, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Opposed?
Opposed.
Lois? Okay, so motion fails. That was 4-2 if there's a 2-4. All right, thank you. Moving on to agenda, the final agenda item.
Oh, wait a minute, we're not finished with this.
Oh, we... Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, yes, that's right.
Believe it or not, this side of the room's got some things to say, right?
My apologies. And I didn't ask for public comment either.
Okay, I just have an observation and two quick questions. I was really pleased to see that that all of the invoices were submitted for the planning loan. And when that last payment is received, am I wrong in thinking the city's cash position will be north of $35 million?
Yes, that's correct. It should be.
That's great. I guess that covers a lot of next year's expenditures, right?
It does. As Mr. Beckman pointed out, it's a cash flow issue because these WIFIA and SRF are both reimbursement. Yeah. So we'll be using that cash to flow in between the time that we receive reimbursement.
Another question I had was, what is the estimated launch date of the new public website?
I don't know what the date would be. We still need to do an internal review of that website and meet with our Water Reclamation Subcommittee to vet that website. So I would say within the next couple weeks.
What is the difference between, what do you anticipate the difference being between that website and the current one?
Mainly organization. So instead of just a long list of documents, it'll be more searchable. The more relevant documents will maintain on there with an archive for older, out-of-date documents. There'll be a better presence on the splash page, the front page of it, to give project status.
That would be great. And maybe the person that designs that can redesign the city's website. Does the city plan to issue a press release when the notice of proceed is issued?
Yes.
I have one other question or comment. I went back and I looked at the staff report that the city manager prepared in January of 2019 asking this committee to take over the review of this report. I also looked at the staff report that Mr. Leivig prepared telling us that we were going to take this report over. Then I listened to the portion of the January 2019 City Council meeting where the city manager presented to the City Council that he was going to divorce WRFCAC from the financial controls and give it to us. Nowhere in any of those reports or in the comments to the City Council or in the City Council's motions or minutes, is there any discussion about what we're supposed to do with this report? And in our agenda today, item B3 said the recommendation to us was receive and provide feedback on the 2018-19 Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. Our recommendation for this report is receive the WRF Capital Project Report. What I would like to ask the City Council if they could provide some direction to us on what their anticipation is for us to spend the time to review this report. Are we supposed to comment at each meeting? Or what exactly are we supposed to be doing besides receiving? I mean, I got it. Now what?
Well stated. We have our liaison here. I'm sure we'll hear in the near future if we need some more specific direction.
Well, I think we have to motion that. Don't we? Don't we have to motion everything that we want
to
consider?
No, I don't think we have to motion everything from the reading of the new. It was that or liaison, or included in the staff report.
Can we get some clarification on that from?
You can do it either way. You can make a motion, or when we bring this back to council next week, we can have this discussion and say that some members of CFAC question what the relevancy of this report is and what they're supposed to do with it.
Well, may I?
No, it's not the relevancy of the report. I want, what I'm looking for is some clear direction from the City Council on what they expect us to do with the report.
And Scott, I think that's probably a fair request because I'm struggling with that. I think some of us are so far down in the weeds, and we have a City Council subcommittee. We have a professional consulting firm managing this project, and we also review it, I thought, at a higher level. So if we're supposed to be designing every single project schedule and chart and table and adding and deleting, understanding that we're not the only audience here, mm-hmm. then we are going to just continue to struggle with, well, do we present, do we have to motion everything? We're having trouble getting the motions, just getting them down because we, each one of us are, you know, maybe making a little tweak to it, myself
and
included.
I wasn't dismissing Homer. I'm just saying that those are your two options. You can either make a motion or we can relay that there are members of the committee that are somewhat confused as to the role. That's completely appropriate. I'm not trying to dismiss Homer.
Not saying you are. And maybe that's something when we meet with our work plan, too, that we get some clarification on that. But
no, it's a good idea that Homer has, although Ms. McPherson came to first meeting that I attended, was a February meeting, and explained what our role is to provide oversight of the WRF project financially and alert the City Council anytime we see that program is running over budget or behind schedule. And so certainly today we're seeing, yes, it's running over budget and behind schedule. Well, the report doesn't say it, but data that we've seen certainly show that. But I can understand why you don't put anything in the report, because you're in negotiations right now. You don't know what the negotiated price will be. You don't know when EPA will give us the go-ahead. So.
Well, I would just like then, you know, like what I'm asking for, Bill, is that the recommendations in the staff report is that if they want feedback, then say it.
Okay, so why don't I open up for public comment and see if we receive any public comment since our liaison is in the audience.
Yeah, let me just clarify a couple of points. I never used the word oversight. I wouldn't use that word to describe what this committee is supposed to do. Certainly to review the report and any significant things you see that need to be conveyed to council, you can do so. But oversight implies something beyond that, and it's reading the report, it's seeing at a high level, and again, it's prospective on a high level. Do you see anything that we need to be alerted to? Now, we obviously know the details, and the subcommittee, which meets on a fairly regular basis, is very up to date on what's going on. And Bill is correct that when negotiations are going on, you can't report where we're at. But as soon as we have something, I'm sure that this committee will get a report. I don't think we honestly thought beyond a high level. We didn't expect you to get in the weeds, that's for sure. That is not something that we would want this group to do. And it is a highly technical project, and we have a committee that actually met on a regular basis for the 4 years that it's been, you know, being developed, and they have reviewed all of the decisions that came from on a technical basis to the project, which is now ready to be in the ground implemented. So from our point of view, the hardest job and the biggest decisions have already been made in terms of what it's going to cost, where it's going to be, what kind of plan it's going to be. So again, we can rethink, and I will actually bring this forward to the full council so that we can talk about this, since there's a lack of clarity about what the expectations are. So I honestly don't think we thought through it, except that during the development of the project, it was very important to have somebody reviewing these details. And now we're in a different phase of the project than we were.
Will that request be included in one sentence in the staff report for the quarterly review?
If you do it by motion, it carries a little more weight because then we know what the vote was. But I can put it in the staff report, if you like, without that.
Madam Chair, what do you want to do?
Well, it's whatever the members want to do. I'm fine either way.
Then I'll go. I would like to make a motion that the Finance Committee would like more clarity on what its responsibilities are when reviewing the quarterly WRF financial documents.
Second that motion?
I'll second that.
Yeah. And that's, I think it's clearly well stated. Thank you, Homer. Any further discussion?
I don't have a problem with making the motion because obviously if someone is unclear on how to review a document that we're asked to review, then I think we ought to do that. I'm personally very clear on we have a document. It's what I did for 40 years. I was certified cost engineer, involved in scheduling. So I think I know what I'm looking at. But if there are those who are unclear, the fact that we disagree on how to approach a table is different from saying we don't understand how to review it. But if there are those who are unclear on what our role is on reviewing the document, fine, let's get clarification.
Excuse me, let me just clarify. The recommendation here is to receive the report. So what is the expectation beyond receive the report? That's what we're seeking clarification on. Thank you.
Well, yeah. It could be received report, but clearly we were to take over the role of the Finance Subcommittee of WRFCAC. And to me, that involves doing, we would review those aspects. Barbara did that.
I think, Bart, we're getting again into that. And yes, we had a Finance Subcommittee. We did not go into this level of detail. It was at a higher level, I can tell you that. And I also supported that moving that here only because two of the three members on the Finance Subcommittee were no longer on WRFCAC. So we no longer had, we had the engineering expertise. We did not have the finance expertise. But if it were at a high level, it was at a high level. It wasn't the detail that... So we know how to review a report. We're not asking for clarification on that. We're asking for clarification of our role on the receive, just to be clear. Any further discussion? All right, when we want to vote on Homer's motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That was one no or two? One. Okay, thank you. Five carries 5-1. All right, now are we finished? I'm sorry, Lois and John, I didn't ask you specifically. Did you have any other discussion on this item? John?
I have no questions at this time.
Thank you, or comments or suggestions. Thank you. And that brings us to future agenda items. Let me start on the left this time. Any future agenda items? Jennifer, on our February meeting, do you have anything noted?
The mid-year update, the 10-year forecast update, and we should be able to have our second quarter investment report.
Oh, okay. So that's the 10-year forecast, the mid-year budget, and our second quarter investment report. Okay, I want to make a note of that. That should be a fairly full agenda. We'll have a new member there.
Correct.
Joining us. So, okay, anything else? Any final comments? Thank you all for your participation. Close the meeting, 5:34.
To the meeting tomorrow. If he's around, or you and I can just do it.
I forgot that I have to be at TTAC.